Just the next few minutes that we have left here this morning, I just want to share something with you. This is a part of the service, you know, when I talked about earlier, when people go to movies, they want to get something. And sometimes when we come to church, it's not always the right attitude to have. We come to worship God. We should really come with the attitude of, Lord, we just want to gather with your people to worship you because you're just so awesome. Amen. You're just so wonderful. You're just so great. But there's also that side of receiving some things to help us to become more like Christ as well. And the next few minutes, I want to share something with you that I believe will help us to grab a hold of something. So if you are, you know, if this kind of catches your attention, then make sure you don't lose it. I don't know about you, but years ago when I started learning some of these things, I used to take notes all the time. I would write things down all the time because I didn't want to forget them. And I would really encourage you to write things down because you'll forget them. How do I know I'll forget them or you'll forget them? Because I forget them if I don't write them down. God can speak to me about something, and if I don't write it down, when he speaks to me sometimes with something, wow, that's so powerful, that's so great, that's so wonderful, I'll never forget that. Look, it kept 15 minutes later. What was that? If you don't write it down, it'll get away from you. God wrote his word down to us. He did it so that we would be able to grab a hold of it. But I want to share something with you that I believe will help you on an everyday basis if you'll use it. And it kind of started, my thought kind of started along this line when I was talking to somebody this week, and I'm certainly not going to reveal who it was or anything like that. And so but you can use this example in your life. But somebody that told me that they were trying to quit smoking, and they were really wanting to get rid of that, and they were just wondering the best way to go about it and so forth. And I gave an answer that I really wasn't happy with when I went home and thought about it. I really wasn't happy with it. So I thought I would talk a little bit more on that this morning. Because what I told them, it's something obviously very difficult to get rid of, something that can get a hold of you. Addictions really are powerful, and they can grab a hold of you. Now, Jesus can deliver us from them, but sometimes, you know, I've seen people totally healed, delivered from things like that instantly without any withdrawals or nothing. And I've seen other people go through a time of real, a difficult time to do it. But the answer I gave this person who told me that, and I said, well, you know, one of the things is every time you have another one, push it into the ground, say, that's the last time I'll ever have another cigarette. And that person said to me, well, yeah, I know where you come from, but when you know darn well you're going to have another one, it's hard to do that. Should you do that? Well, let's just look at Scripture for a minute and talk a little bit about that particular area. Mark chapter 11, where Jesus spoke, when he spoke to the fig tree, here's a human being. Jesus was a human being. He was all God, but he was all man too. And he spoke to the fig tree, and the fig tree responded. Start reading at verse 12. Now the next day, when he had come out of Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, it almost seems like Jesus was having a communication here with this tree. Jesus, it says, in response, Jesus said to it, let no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard it. Now, he went into the temple and did a bunch of stuff, but let's go down to verse 20, because we want to just stick with what we're teaching here this morning. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. That's the same fig tree that Jesus cursed the morning before. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, first of all, Jesus took this lesson here. He took this circumstance and began to teach. He began to teach his disciples something that was going to be relevant to them. And by doing that, he was suggesting to them that they would be able to do the same thing. For if he wasn't suggesting that, then why would he possibly use this as a method of teaching about faith at all? Jesus would say, well, you know, I did that because I was God, but you could never do that. Well, he couldn't use that as an example to teach people anything, really, because we're not God. But he told them, he said, have faith in God. The literal translation says, have the God kind of faith. If you do, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Everybody say doubt in his heart. But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, the key I believe the Lord wants me to touch on this morning is this area of not doubting in the heart. Because from this scripture, you can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart, and it'll work. Because he says here that, and does not doubt in his heart. It doesn't say he doesn't doubt in his head, but doubt in his heart. Your head can play crazy things on you. Your head can do all kinds of funny things on you. How many of you, when you really get down to pray, and you really want to pray about something, you're really in the prayer, but you still have to fight the thoughts that go through your head? I mean, it happens all the time. It's difficult to stay focused. There's things going through your mind, and you start thinking about what you're going to have for supper, and what you're going to have for breakfast, and what you're going to have next day for dinner, and whatever. Debbie says, I'm always wondering what we're going to have, so thought I'd use that. But anyway, our head can do some pretty weird things. And when we're trying to believe God for something, we can't count on our head getting the job done. There's something has to take place in our heart that will get the job done. So you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head, and God's word will still work for you. I mean, how many people got saved? You came to the Lord, you confessed his word, you brought it to him, and it went down in your heart, and you knew on the inside that you got saved. But the next day, thoughts went through your head. Oh, did anything really happen? Did anything really take place? So there was still doubt in your head. There's still doubt in our head, but there was faith in our heart, and it's faith in our heart that got us saved. And so, in this particular case, if we're trying to get rid of something like smoking, for instance, or something else, some other issue in our lives, we have to make sure that we have to realize that the faith that's going to get the job done is going to come from our hearts. It's going to have to come from our hearts. And how do you get faith in your heart? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the only way that you can get faith in your heart is get in the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about the situation? Now, we know that doubt in your heart will really shut any kind of effect off or any kind of fruit that you want. In fact, James says in James chapter 1, verse 6, it says, but let him ask, talking about someone who might be asking God for wisdom or other things, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So he's talking to him here again about not doubting and about what doubting can do to us. In other words, if we're doubting things in our heart, if our heart is in a doubtful place, then it is in a divided place. It's in a place where we haven't really settled the issue in our heart. We were just talking this morning. It's interesting. We were just talking this morning with someone about kids who start off and going to university. And many times I hear kids all the time going and asking them, what is it that they're going to major on? And they will say, well, I don't really know yet, so I'm just taking a general course and just going into it. I don't really know what I want to do, so I'm just going to take a general course. Well, I really don't feel that that's a good way. I think a person would be so much better off in making a faith, praying and asking God what they should take, and then I know God will speak to them. I know God will put something in their heart and choose a course and start out on it. And put your faith toward that particular area, make a goal of what you desire to do, and apply yourself toward that particular area so that you're not all over the place. Now, down the road, if you sense that, okay, this is not really what I want to do, you can make a shift. But you and I have not been made to function in wondering all the time which way to go. You and I have been made to make a choice to apply our faith towards something and then start out toward it. And if we're going the wrong way, expect to hear a voice behind us that will tell us the right way to go so that we can make a shift. But if we just kind of start out there and don't really know where we're going, we'll end up nowhere. But if we start somewhere and make a choice and start applying our faith toward that, we'll begin to get to where we want to go. And they say we can make adjustments along the way. Now, the scripture says in verse 23 here, it says, that if we shall not doubt in our hearts, but believe that those things he says will be done. Everybody say, will be done. That word will be done there, the the theologians that know a whole lot more about this than I do tell me that it is a futuristic term. In other words, it's saying that something is going to happen in the future. It hasn't happened right now, but it's a futuristic term. In other words, if you ask God for something and you believe in your heart that it will be done, it means that it hasn't happened right now. You haven't seen the manifestation of it right now, but it will be done. It's a futuristic term. It's something that's going to happen. But it's interesting the way Jesus puts it here. He says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." He will have whatever he says. Although it's a futuristic thing that's going to come to pass, Jesus is still saying, you'll have whatever you say. You'll have whatever you say. Okay, if we have faith in our heart, then our mouth has to line up with what we want to say, what we want to bring forth. Now, in Mark 11:24, it says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So it is when we pray that we are to believe, not when we see the manifestation of it. So let's say in the area of, because this was a topic that kind of started me on this track, let's say a person is trying to get rid of smoking, quit smoking. For me personally, what I would go around is, thank God I'm delivered from smoking cigarettes. Thank God I'm delivered from that nicotine demon, because that's what it is a lot of times. Thank God for deliverance in that particular area. Thank God for deliverance. But you're still smoking. Well, yes, what is happening hasn't quite caught up with my confession yet, but I'm believing that God is going to rip this out of me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is something about God's Word that produces faith. Larry was talking about how powerful the Word was. I didn't bother mentioning some of the scriptures that I had already to mention this morning because Larry took them all. But there is something powerful about the Word. That's why when people in hotel rooms pick that up and read that Word, there is faith in that Word that gets in them and gives them an ability to believe. I couldn't get saved without God. So what happened? When I made the choice to receive Jesus, faith came so that I could believe Him. Where did that faith come from? I believe it came from the Word of God. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word is such a powerful thing to be to read the Word of God. That's why when we're trying to deal with an issue in life, we have to get the Word of God and find out what the Word of God says about our particular situation. And then begin to say it and pray it and all the rest of it. Sing it, say it, do whatever you can with it, but get it out. Because the Bible says when you pray and do not doubt in your heart, you'll have whatever you say. Well, what do you suppose would happen if you went about like this? Well, I've been smoking now for 26 years. And, you know, I've tried to quit a number of times, and it just got such a hold of me. I'm never going to be able to quit smoking. I know I'm going to die still sucking on a cigarette. What do you suppose would happen if a person went around saying that all the time? You die smoking cigarettes. The converse of that will work as well. Even though you're in the clux of addiction, it'll still work if you apply the Word of God toward that and start thinking about how this temple is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that God wouldn't want me to defile the temple. We're putting nicotine into my body, wrecking my lungs and so forth. And so, Lord, you said whatsoever, when you ask, pray, believing that you would receive. And so I'm asking God to be delivered from this now in the name of Jesus Christ. And no matter how many times you slip and fall, continue. Jesus is good at giving us chances to start over again. But believe that it will come to pass. Don't concentrate all the time on trying to have real strong willpower to quit smoking or anything else you want. Give Him your will and trust His power to come and get you delivered. That's the only way it's ever going to work. Rather than taking all your time and trying to drum up willpower to quit the thing or to do the thing that you want, take that time, get into the Word of God, and build your faith so there's no doubt in your heart. Build your faith concerning the issue that you're dealing with so that there'll be no doubt there to contradict your faith. Now, I want to challenge you a little bit in this. I'm going to suggest to you now, just see, Christianity, if it doesn't get down to where the rubber meets the road, it doesn't mean anything. If it's just plain religious, these are nice words and it's good stuff, and you know, it's nice to hear and tickles my ears and so forth, it doesn't mean nothing. Listen, if the Word of God doesn't make sense in your everyday life, then it doesn't make sense anywhere. So it has to be applied. So I want to suggest to you that if we claim to really want something, or claim to even desire to be delivered of something, if we're really truthful, we'll prove our desire by the direct amount of time we spend on getting this word into us. I can say all day, well, I'd like to quit smoking, or I'd like to do this, or I'd like to do that, or I'd like to do this, and like. But if I never take the time to build up faith in that area, do I really want it? Do I really want it? Or is it just a nice thought? We live in a generation that where we want everything, we want it now, and we want it easy. I remember one time praying with a man. I asked him if he wanted to accept Jesus. Somewhere along that line, wanted to pray. And he said, I can. He said, I will if it's easy. I don't really know what the guy meant, whether he was really serious or not, or he was just trying to relate something. If it's hard, I'm going to have a hard time doing it. But sometimes that's the way we are. We will if it's easy. Well, you know, I just think the body of Christ is just wonderful. I just think it's just wonderful to get together with the body of Christ and to worship Jesus. I just think that's absolutely wonderful. And go on, talk about that all day, or just think about that. And when we get into a little religious group, we talk about that. But come Sunday morning, oh, well, man, you know, I was going to do this all week and never got to it. I'm going to stay home and do this or do that or some other excuse not to gather together. You see, our words have to match up eventually with what we claim we believe. So in looking for things in looking to the Word of God to deal with issues in our own lives, and there's lots of word there, we have to take the Word of God and get it into our hearts so that faith will begin to grow. That is how you came into the kingdom of God. You may not have necessarily read off the pages, but you heard the word somewhere that you could be saved. You got knowledge of that, whether it was through a testimony that somebody gave. You heard the word somewhere, and faith came that you could be saved. And you came into the kingdom of God. Well, that's the same way you can get anything from God. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, verse 24 says... Well, 25 says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Jesus gave us a key here to effectual prayer. Unforgiveness has to be something that's thrown right out of the picture. If you're a believer today, you have absolutely no right to have any unforgiveness toward anybody. And I believe I would have no confidence in my prayer. I would have no confidence in my faith if I have unforgiveness toward anybody in my own heart. If I've got something against Robert, I know what would happen. If I was offended with something that Robert said, I know what happens to me. I get down to pray. There could be something totally foreign to my relationship with Robert. But Robert would come up because that would be that unforgiveness would be there. It'd be a wall between God and I. One of the principles of effective faith is to walk in total forgiveness toward anybody. If we refuse to do, Jesus said that. He said, if you don't forgive your brother, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. And I believe we need to hear that in the church. Because I know people, we hear it all the time, you know. And you not only hear it, you can see it. You can tell when somebody has something against somebody else. You can just tell the tension sometimes when two people walk into a room. It happens all the time. But if we refuse to let that thing go, how can we ever expect to get our prayers answered? And some of us have some pretty significant prayers. We're praying for loved ones, that people would come into the kingdom of God. We may be praying for somebody's healing. They need to be healed. I've heard read testimonies of people forgiving, for instance, their parents and suddenly becoming their body being healed because of it. All kinds of things like that take place. So unforgiveness has to stop. Faith has to come into our hearts so that there's no doubt there. And then we can have confidence that whatever we say, whatever we pray, will come to pass. Stand with me, please.